The Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care.
Thank you, Craig. How many of us have been under general anesthesia?
That is
amnesia.
I guess I was for my colonoscopy.
Yeah.
Is that general, or it seems like they made some distinction on that, didn't they?
Is it a little lighter than what you would have for open heart surgery?
Something like that. It's colonel anesthesia.
That's the only time I've been under.
Yeah, and knee surgery.
Yeah. Did you have any strange effects from being under?
It was really wild waking up.
Because you had the experience of no time has elapsed?
Yes. I thought it was like 2 minutes later, and it was, I don't know, an hour later.
Isn't that freaky, don't you think?
Yeah, time traveled.
It's like, where's the human soul go during that time?
I don't know.
Do you exist during that time? Because you are your mind, right?
Yeah.
Your soul.
You're breathing, your heart's going.
Uh-huh. But you're not there. You're having no experiences.
Yeah.
And whatever the soul is, it's, we don't know what it is, but it's, or the mind, it's the experiencer of the experiences. And if you're not having any experiences, then there's no experiencer.
Yeah, that was wild. And it was a wild couple of days too, because once I started the pain meds, then I started seeing things like giant spiders and golf carts in the living room. And
you know, that's a strange one. I've known lots of people that when they're on some medication, they have a weird reaction to. It's always spiders they see.
Really?
Yeah.
That's odd.
Giant spiders. And at one point, I was sitting there and I asked my wife, why do we have a golf cart in the living room?
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, it's not a golf cart,
hey,
but
listen, pal.
Have some more soup.
Yeah, we call it a couch, but it's okay.
And I got a golf cart.
My buddy
okay,
just had,
DJ, take care, man.
My buddy just had surgery, and he said when he came to back in his room that his wife said, she was there with him, that he kept telling the nurse that he needed to leave because he had a gymnastics competition, and he was the best in the balance beam in the Metroplex, and he thought he could win the balance beam.
And he's never been a gymnast in his life.
Never.
Okay, yeah.
Gosh,
good luck.
Insane.
Isn't it crazy?
Yes. All right, this guy from Utah, Stephen Case, he's a father, and he says that's his most important job. He woke up from not only this latest surgery. He told the nurses going into this, he said, when I wake up, just be prepared. Because he's been put under before, and whenever he comes out of general anesthesia, he has the same reaction.
Okay.
Do you want to guess what it is?
He tries to tackle people.
Not a bad guess. Gets aggressive or something like that. No, but that's not it.
He tries to TT on everybody in the room.
Why?
Farts uncontrollably.
Oh. Why you guys, you think like fifth graders.
Hey.
It's so rare what happens to him. He's only one of 100 confirmed cases of this. He has foreign language syndrome.
It's really a language. It's not just nonsense.
He speaks fluent Spanish despite not being fluent in Spanish.
Has he ever had Spanish courses?
No, he says that he said that he was a low-level Spanish student in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he frequently heard the language when he would go over to his friend's house, and his parents always spoke Spanish.
Well,
but he said, I never knew what anyone was saying. But that's the only thing he can come up with as to where he may have become secretly fluent in Spanish.
He probably learned a lot more just hearing his parents and his friends than he realized.
Yeah.
It was in there somewhere.
Which is another crazy element of the mind, is that our mind has all this potential that we can't tap into in our regular, normal, conscious state.
I know.
Are we all secretly, are the three of us all secretly fluent in Spanish and French and languages that we've heard spoken around us?
I would say more fluent than we think. I took a trip to France, a bicycle trip many years ago, and I did a 3-month crash course on Rosetta Stone learning French. I'd taken a little bit in school.
Who's this?
And
Rose?
And when I got over there, in the middle of it, in these small towns, I found myself thinking and trying to communicate to them in Spanish. Like everything.
Even though you were in France?
Yeah, and even though I had just done a crash course in French, but I had taken Spanish in college and high school, and I had spoken it when I waited tables around here, when, you know, with the staff. That's where I learned most of my Spanish. And I found that when I was over there immersed in this French culture, I kept defaulting to Spanish, and I kept thinking to myself, I know how to ask for this in Spanish. I know the word for this in Spanish, even though I just boned up on my French, and I realized I was much more fluent in Spanish than I ever realized.
Maybe because you learned that at a time when you had more neuroplasticity.
Indeed.
Sunk into the brain. But yes, foreign language syndrome, FLS, can be brought on by brain injury, psychological stress, or after waking up from surgery, or after marrying Guy Ritchie. You get a foreign accent. Yeah, that's what happened to Madonna. She suffered from this.
You know what? I read something on that over the holiday, that is a real thing, that if you go and live with a person who has a strong accent,
yeah,
or live in a country, you are going to adopt that accent. It's not like she did that on purpose. It just...
No, you know what? Remember when I got back, we took that trip to England. We were there for like 10 days, and I came back, and I was fighting fake British accent.
You caught accent while over there?
Yeah.
Yes, I think people catch accent.
See, I kind of do that when... All right, what do you call it when I go visit like my Mississippi relatives and then...
I think that can happen,
no,
too.
No, but I don't come back speaking that way. I just code switch while I'm over there. I find myself slipping into accents that they have. That's just code switching.
And you don't think you... I bet you carry that back. I bet if you spent some time there for like a week or something and came back...
No, I come back here and I read poems and, you know, change the oil in my car. And do all that. Anyway, well... Stephen Case, was that his name?
Something Case.
Yeah. Hopefully he gets his handicap placard and everything. For his foreign language syndrome.
Now, there aren't any examples of people who have foreign language syndrome having never heard or read that language at all, are there?
Yes, because we've had stories of that.
Now, that I can't believe.
Yeah, that's...
Maybe they're tapping into the universal consciousness.
That's the only
which we're
answer.
All. The argument can be made that we are all just atoms for a greater organism. We're just each one cell, let's say, in a greater organism,
like Pluribus.
I got so many problems with that show. Why do you overrate that show? Not just you. There's lots of people that overrate.
How many
that
episodes
show.
Did you give it?
Because I've watched every single one of them.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you bailed on it.
She's annoying in it. She's overactor, but it feels like, I mean, and Vince Gilligan has given us great programming before, and she's been good in other things, but they are a little force fielded with this Pluribus.
Man, it's so good. I don't see why you don't like it. You didn't love the first episode when everyone's shaking and...
No, I was concerned for them.
Oh,
I was
God.
I'm concerned for their well-being.
I saw that, thought it was right up your alley.
Why would it be right up my alley?
Let's see. This is a show getting a lot of attention, and he's not in it, and he had nothing to do with the writing of it. So
It gets
so
like
four. It's no good.
100 on Rotten Tomatoes and wins Golden Globes.
It's the Tina Fey of Vince Gilligan shows.
It's also great.
Okay, I should start compiling my list of things that are inconsistent in the show. With this hive mind, it's a show about everyone in the world, save for a dozen people or so, develop a hive mind, and they all can telepathically communicate with each other in a way. And there's just a lot of logistic problems with that.
Okay.
There are, and then she's overacting and sometimes underacting, like with the craziness of it. And it's, I will make my list and I will present it at a time of my choosing, and you will see. You will be convinced by my arguments beyond any shadow of a doubt.
Does one of them become a coach and win a Super Bowl because they know what the other team is going to run?
They can't do sports anymore.
Oh, because everyone's dead.
But they haven't commented on that yet.
Sports? No,
yeah.
They haven't.
Because everyone would know the other plays that the people are going to use.
That's right.
And they probably would not battle against each other because they're the same person.
They all love each other, and there's no crime. There's nothing in the world anymore because everybody's just nice and happy and one.
Great.
Except that they eat people.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Merry Christmas on that part of it.
You didn't think that was funny? Is she's... Carol, the lead character, is writing all these things down that she learns about them. And number six was they, period, eat, period, people, period.
No.
See, because he didn't write that line.
I found it troubling and stupid. Why would she need to write that down? Why would she risk writing all this stuff down of her plotting against them?
I was going to say I hate talking about TV and movies with you, but I hate talking about everything with you.
Well, it's 7:15. Be here. I think you're really going to enjoy what I have to say about the news.
Oh, boy.